My guest at this time is Kurt Smith, a prolific author and speaker who wrote more presidential speeches than anyone for President George H.W. Bush. He is also the author of George H.W. Bush, Character at the Core. We've asked him to talk now about the legacy of former First Lady Barbara Bush. And Kurt, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, Greg, my pleasure. I guess under better circumstances, it would be a delight, but a privilege to be with you nonetheless.
Thank you, sir. Likewise. The way I tend to think of Barbara Bush is someone who took the presidency and her role as First Lady seriously, but never took herself all that seriously. And maybe that's why people gravitated towards her. For example, you don't see a lot of First Ladies getting hurt sledding. But why do you think she's always been so widely admired?
Well, in the book to which you alluded, the biography of Bush 41, I alluded to her as a Barbara Bush superstar. And certainly that would be, I think, verified by her ratings in the Gallup poll. She was a spectacularly popular first lady. And I think the reason is exactly the qualities that you described. She took her role as first lady with extraordinary severity. That is that she demanded perfection from her staff. She supplied it almost to a T as first lady. I think of her as Jessica Fletcher, the great heroine from Cabot Cove on the television show Murder, She Wrote, the Republican matron. And that was rather apt since that show was the Bush's favorite, which they watched week after week in the personal quarters of the White House. And great floor poise, totally unflappable, totally imperturbable, and yet with a pixie sense of humor. Never took herself seriously. And I think it was this total lack of pretension that endeared her so to the American public.
From what you saw, how would you describe the marriage of George and Barbara Bush?
Married at the hip. Exceedingly, extraordinarily, perhaps unprecedentedly close for a White House couple. Certainly it was the longest marriage in White House history, 73 years. George Bush was the first man that Barbara Bush ever kissed. Barbara Bush said so. They got married in January of 1945. She was a wartime bride. He was just back from wartime service. He was, of course, a war hero. He had almost lost his life to the Japanese the year before. He was barely 20 years old. She was not much younger than he. And they married that January. And had six children. One died, Robin, when she was very young of a leukemia at age three. They were spectacularly close. It stuns that that one is gone. And she was George Bush's best friend, best pal, great protector, his Horatio at the bridge. Boy, you know, she could say things about him in private and even in public that were not acidic, but that were certainly insightful. But boy, let anyone else say anything rough about him, and you paid for it. You paid for it then, and you paid for it in memory, because, boy, she never forgot. And far tougher than he was, and he never would have been president without her. There's no question in my mind, nor I think in anyone that met them or knew them. And a perfect match in every possible way, which is why they were so close to the end of her time on Earth.
Well, let's follow up on that, because I think it was said as President Reagan passed a number of years ago, and then again when Nancy Reagan passed, that he probably wouldn't have ascended to those political heights without her. And it sounds like what you just said, that the same thing is true, but perhaps in a different way with the Bushes.
There's no question about this. In fact, again, in the book to which you alluded, and quite often I've elsewhere, I've made the point that there was a great kinship between Reagan and Bush 41. They didn't start out closely. In fact, Reagan in 1980, when they were both candidates for the Republican nomination for president, was stunningly unimpressed by Bush in the first time that they met politically. But they became very close, and Reagan depended upon Bush to a great degree in the Reagan presidency. And there were great similarities between the two. Both of them were modest, self-effacing, humble, deeply, deeply religious, middle American to the core, quite unflappable, I think. Very courteous. All of the Huck Finn, Tom Sawyer qualities that we ascribe to Middle America. But they weren't mean. And politics is a mean profession. They needed someone who were tougher than they were. Nancy Reagan was indisputably tougher than her husband. Barbara Bush was exceedingly tougher than her husband. And I think both husbands knew it. Both were, I think, very grateful for it. And I think the nation and the world should be grateful for it, because both Reagan and Bush gave democracies and gave the free world leadership without which we would not have had the triumph of democracy and the collapse of communism and the triumph of freedom throughout the world in the 1980s and the 90s. That's how important Nancy Reagan and Barbara Bush were.
You mentioned the similarities between Bush and Reagan. Conventional wisdom, at least, would suggest that one thing that was different was that Reagan had perhaps an on-camera persona that folks gravitated to a little more easily, and that George H.W. Bush struggled at times to connect with people, but Barbara did not. So how much did her personality help him at the ballot box?
Well, I think quite a bit. I'm very familiar with the challenges that we faced. When I say we, as a former speechwriter to Bush, Bush knew this. He once told me that, quote unquote, "I'm not Ronald Reagan. I couldn't be if I wanted to." Well, he was right on both scores. He wasn't Reagan, and he didn't want to be Reagan. That is, that he valued Reagan. He was almost in awe of Reagan. He was never envious, never. He couldn't understand how someone could be as magical as Ronald Reagan. I mean, he didn't understand it. It was almost ultra human for him. But what I say by that, he didn't want to be Reagan. To him, public speaking was one aspect of governance. To Reagan, I always felt he thought that it almost was governance. I don't say that in a critical way. To Bush, public speaking was one aspect of leadership. And I often thought, and Bush and I talked about this after the fact, after his term in office, that he did not put enough emphasis on public speaking. If he had to do over again, he would have put a greater emphasis. Mrs. Bush helped him a lot in this sense, warmed him up, helped his appeal to the public. But in the end, of course, she was not on the ballot in 1992. Her husband was, versus Bill Clinton. And in the end, Americans don't vote for first ladies, they vote for presidents.
Oh, talking to Kurt Smith, wrote more speeches for President George Bush 41 than anyone else, and the author of George H.W. Bush, Character at the Core. Kurt, what kind of impact did Barbara Bush have on the president in the White House, both in dealing with tough decisions like the Gulf War or political disappointments like the 92 campaign?
Well, she was with him, of course, in 92 from beginning to end, and she was a great comfort to him after the fact because, and this is so typical of Bush, he didn't blame anyone around him for losing to Bill Clinton. He blamed himself. He felt that he had not been let down by the team. He had felt he had let down the team. It took a long time for him to recover. And Mrs. Bush was inordinately helpful. She was there every step of the way. And they went back to Houston, where they are divinely loved. You know, such a big city, but boy, such a small town in the sense that, you know, he and Mrs. Bush, they were their guys, or gals in this sense. And the Bushes loved Houston in return. And, of course, Kennebunkport in Maine. The Bushes have loved Maine ever since they were very young, and vice versa, loving the Bushes. So in that sense, neighbors, family. The Bushes all have always have been about family. Helped ease the wounds of defeat. The Gulf War, I think, face Billy Graham and his wife, who incidentally, I hadn't known this until a couple years back, longtime friends of the Bushes. That I knew. I didn't know that they had Dr. Graham and Ruth Graham, Billy's wife, had vacationed at Kennebunkport every year with the Bushes dating back to 1952. I hadn't known that. I don't think most Americans did. So they had been almost extended members of the family. Bush depended upon faith in moments of crisis. He once told me that he didn't see how you could be president unless you believed in God. And he was already deeply religious when he became president. That became even more so as he spent more time on his knees making the tough decisions that the president must make. Mrs. Bush, too. I was told that she was looking forward in the last few weeks to going to heaven because she was in such pain. So the Bushes, I think, were comforted and have been by their deep faith in God. They don't talk a great deal about it. They don't have to. They live it. Anybody looking at them can understand where their faith comes and how they live that faith.
Kurt, a fascinating life that covered so many different dimensions, especially when you think of all the different roles that her husband held before coming to the vice presidency, CIA, China, UN, RNC, Congress, all sorts of things over the years. But so summing up the legacy of Barbara Bush can't be easy. But in the years to come, what do you think her lasting legacy will be, whether it's devotion to family, her performance as First Lady, devotion to literacy, whatever it happens to be. What do you think is going to stand out most as time goes on?
I think she's a remarkable woman, an all-American woman, one of the leading women of the 20th century. I think she was a feminist in the best sense of the term. She lived her life exactly as she wanted. She married the great love of her life, and she lived with that man every step of her life, every step of the way. Enriching that life, being a spectacular success every step of the way, whether it be at the United Nations, whether it being in China when he was ambassador to China, as wife of the vice president, as wife of the president, as a global ambassador for the United Nations. She was spectacular. And I think she showed what a truly outspoken, independent, yet always dignified, always a woman of great character, a great honor, of great religion, of great faith. What's not to like? What's not to admire? And I think particularly, and I say this as someone who grew up with two independent sisters, what a role model for American youth, and particularly for American female youth, that you can be independent and yet be respectful of other people, respect their opinions. And above all, that she embodied the greatest nation in the history of the world, as well as anyone ever has.
Kurt, beautifully stated. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Kurt Smith wrote more presidential speeches than anyone for President George H.W. Bush. He's also the author of George H.W. Bush, Character at the Core. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.